go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 109 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Do me a favor, right now, at this moment, tell your mistress, put down the iPad, stop with that crossword puzzle. Tonight, we are not watching Gilmore Girls on the big screen. Tonight, we are watching Verbal Graffiti, episode 109, hearing what the B-Man has to say about pop culture, sports, smut, comedy, family, church, CYO basketball. All right, I'm running out of examples. What else are we going to talk about tonight? I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be something you're going to listen to on Gilmore Girls. This is NC-17. This ain't for the faint of heart, but it is for couples that are in love together with each other. All right, enough of that. That verbal graffiti. Let's get into the actual episode. I was at Pancheros, which is a burrito spot similar to Chipotle. Not as expensive, not as well known. I'm not going to get a whole Chipotle versus real Mexican food. But actually, someone did tell me once that burritos are not Mexican food because the main ingredient inside a burrito is rice. And rice does not come from Mexico most of the time. Usually it comes from Eastern Asia. I'm not great with geography, so it's actually an Asian cuisine, not a Mexican cuisine. Every time I've told somebody this, they vehemently disagree with me, and I don't know what to believe. I don't know if the Mexicans stole it from the Asians or they just stole their ingredients and it actually is Mexican food. All I know is the B-Man, I like a burrito. I don't like a bowl. I like my worker, right? I like the worker behind the table. I like them to actually have to do something with their hands, actually make something for me. The bowl, it's too simple. When I see an employee at one of these burrito places and you get the bowl and they just take the ingredients, they put it in the bowl, they put the top on and they give it to you, that's not enough work for me. Because when I see that being done, and I'm like, wait, I'm going to pay $14 for that. And I could have done that at home. But the putting the food in the burrito and mixing it up and then folding the burrito so it doesn't fall apart and it's not exploding. I don't know how to do that. So that's what I'm paying for. Not so much the food. It's the worker that's building it and putting it together. And there's something about that. The craftsmanship that goes into folding the burrito perfectly. I feel better about having to pay $14 plus tax for that than just a normal bowl with a slop of guac on the top. Hold the sour cream because I'm a dignified person. Fuck sour cream. Anyway, so I'm at Pancheros getting the burrito. And the lady, she's putting it together and she's getting all the receipts from people who are ordering it on the app and trying to skip me in the line. And it's rush hour for Pancheros burritos. And we're talking 6 p.m. I don't know, sir. Maybe it was a Friday or a Saturday night. And she's working the fuck out of my burrito, right? And I asked for brown rice because I ain't no racist. So, hey, give me brown rice and black beans. And I'll have chicken for the protein. And I go, hey, give me the guac because I ain't cheap. I'll pay extra for the guac. And then give me some hot sauce because even though I'm white, I ain't that white. I'll take some hot sauce. And she puts it all together. And then I'm watching her just fold it and perfectly mix all the ingredients up so they're, you know, the guac isn't all on one side and the chicken on the other. It's all together. And I'm watching her put this together. And I know I'm going to give her a tip, but I feel as though she deserves more than a tip. And if she had wanted And if I had the balls to do so, I would have sucked her clit. That's how much work she put into my burrito. In that moment, I would have laid her out on the counter, right on top of the guac, and sucked the fuck out of her clit. That's the type of tip that she deserved. So thank you for that burrito. Ridiculous that burritos are $14+. I'm at a point now where I might stop tipping when I go out and get coffee, because all I get is a hot coffee, large, and no other ingredients. And coffees are now large coffee, so that's a 16, maybe a 24-ounce, depending on where you go. It's definitely over $4 and approaching $5. This is not in a major city, so I don't know. I might have to stop tipping a dollar there. I will always tip the bartender, but the barista, and the fact that they call themselves baristas instead of a worker, there's always something that's always been a little off-putting to the B-man, that the people who make their coffees call themselves baristas. It's a little pretentious to me, so maybe I might stop giving them a dollar tip and give that extra tip money to the burrito maker, because they are not pretentious. They're just regular blue collar workers making burritos, and they deserve to have their clits sucked if they do have a clit. And if they have a penis, I will not be sucking it, because the B-man, I am not a dick sucker. Now, I love a dick sucker. If you're a dick sucker, the B-man, I want to holler at you. I want you to holler at me, especially down there. I'm Mr. Perfect, but I am not a dick sucker. Never been one. Don't think I'll ever be one. Not really sure with that pause there. Not sure why I'm proclaiming all of this, but yeah, that burrito, she made the fuck out of that burrito for me. All right. Okay. We're moving along. I was searching Reddit. I found this on a subreddit, Mom It, I think is how you pronounce it. My girl peed on the potty, 3! My baby girl will be 17 months on the 13th, and tonight she peed in the potty. We've had a potty chair for about 6 months, and she knows it's to go potty, but we hadn't started any training yet, just sitting her on it while waiting for the bath. We noticed in the last week or so, she grabs her diaper and says, "Oh no." So tonight when she did it, I took her to her potty, sat her on it, and she peed. She was scared of her pee after, but with lots of cheering and making up pee songs, she was so proud of herself. I'm so proud of her, but also sad. She's my only baby, and she's not a baby anymore. She says a new word every day and has taken to her toddler bed flawlessly. She's just getting so big, so fast. 1! To end the post. It's funny you say this, that she's all grown up, not a baby anymore, because I've always thought, the B-man, I've always thought that you cease to be a baby when you say your first racial slur and you get a call from the third grade teacher letting you know that your child did so. So what you think is growing up and what the B-man thinks are growing up are two wildly different events. So in my eyes, your baby is still a baby, because unless one of those new words, is one of those words, she's still a baby in my eyes. And I think for all of us, that's probably a good thing, that I'm not viewing your baby as a grown-up yet, because she's still not using the big boy toilet. No, I find it odd that you've had the training toilet out for 6 months, but you're yet to start the toilet training. So why has it been there? Why not just put her on the normal toilet or on the ground next to the bath? Again, I'm not a parent. I'm just asking questions. I'm not sure if any of these are out of school. All I know from this post is that you are an annoying parent, a helicopter parent, an overbearing parent. I see where your parenting is headed, and where it is headed is your daughter who is no longer a baby is going to be you're going to be so invested in her life that you're not going to give your daughter room to breathe, that she, as soon as she's 17, 18, she's going to leave the house right away, and she's going to get on a podcast with all of her friends and talk about what such a helicopter parent you are and how terrible it was in your household, how she could never go out. Her curfew was 10 p.m. She wasn't allowed to drink. She was never allowed to have friends over. She could never go to sleepovers. And all she wants to do now that she's in real adult, I'm not talking potty trained adult, I'm talking 18 adult, is to be involved in the gangbang as the centerpiece of the gangbang, and how she wants to break Lily Phillips' 100 person gangbang. I'm really not sure what you call it, gangbang train, but that is where your daughter is headed in life. But we're far off from there. Again, we are what, 16 plus years? I cannot believe you're still, at what age do you stop counting your child in months and start going to years? Because 17 months, is that still valid? I feel up to about a year, you can do months. But after a year, you go a year, then year and a half, and then almost two, and on and on and on. So that's an annoying thing. Tip as you have as a parent is that you count your child in months. Yeah, we've discussed women like you, mothers like you, parents like you. You've lost your entire identity as a person. You post photos that are stories on social media every 4 hours of your daughter eating food or walking or saying a new word. You've lost your You've lost your sense as a person, and your daughter is you now, and that's just what it is. You have no personality. Your daughter and every new word and every new thing she pees on, that is who you are. And you are, I do want to know, the B-Man, I do want to know the words to this PP song that you and your husband and the daughter sing together. I do want to know how childish it was, and if it rhymed, was it Dr. Seuss like? I don't know. I mean, is this something you should be happy about? I mean, yeah, everyone gets potty trained. Did you need to put a Reddit post? Full disclaimer. I feel like I have to do this every time I'm talking about parenthood and children's. I am not a parent. I do not have any kids. I have not aborted any children. I have been nowhere near having my own genetics in another person. Well, actually, that's a lie. But, you know, forming person with my nut, that's never happened. Never happened with the B-Man. I've been very protective of that. Even though I tell people not to use condoms because they suck, I do use condoms, you know, when it's going down. But this is not normal behavior. Going to Reddit, going to the internet, bragging to every stranger on the internet that your daughter went pee-pee in the training toilet. I gotta believe the normal course of action when you have a child who pees in the potty for the first time is maybe you call the parents, maybe you do a FaceTime, you call the in-laws, your nieces, nephews, cousins, whoever you're tight with, whoever sees your daughter a lot, you call them, let them know, hey, we don't have to pay for diapers anymore, no more Pampers, she's using the toilet, she's growing up quickly. And that's where it ends. Maybe you do a post on Facebook, but going to Reddit, going to other forums on the internet, letting people know that your daughter pees in a toilet, that's excessive. That's some batshit crazy lady genetics that you have, and I sincerely hope your daughter does not possess when she's an actual real adult. Although, I mean, hey, you got to be happy. Like, I am happy for you. Because there are parents that when their kids get to five and they start going, and when does first grade start? Seven, six, seven, 8 years old? When your kids go to first, when parents have a kid who go to first grade who's not like 100% potty trained, there's got to be a nervousness in those parents, like in the chest, in the belly of those parents, knowing that their child might end up being like the Adam Sandler peeing in school. And even though he made it cool, it ain't cool if you're not Adam Sandler. And there's got to be that nervousness in those parents knowing that our child might be the child that pees in class during recess and the bullies make fun of them and they get their kid gets kicked in the nuts because he peed. And can you really blame the bully? Like sometimes when you're in kindergarten, first, second grade, can you blame a bully for teasing the kid who pees his pants in class? I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not advocating for bullying a kid who pees his pants in class. But I can't point at the bully who makes fun of the kid for peeing in class and tell him he's wrong for doing so, for bullying that kid. Like, yeah, I see someone pee, I'm going to chuckle. And I'm 40 years old, so I'm not going to point at an 8-year-old who chuckles at another kid who pees his pants. You know, it takes one to know one. So I'm not going to judge the bully, but the parents of the kid who pees his pants in class, like that's worrisome. Because nobody wants to be the parent of that kid. And thankfully for you and your husband or the baby's father, I'm not sure if you're married or not, that doesn't seem like it's going to have to be a worry of yours. So a tip of my penis to you for the great parenting that you're doing. Now that your daughter's all grown up and not a baby anymore, the only thing you have to teach your daughter to do now is not pick her nose and her butthole in public. And also when she becomes a junior in high school, and if she's yet to get any boobs, you know, if she remains flat chested, you'll have to console her and let her know that sometimes women don't become real women. They stay flat-chested their entire life. And even though you got the good pee genes, you know how to use the toilet, you don't have the good chest genes. So I'm happy for you. Although I do think you're a batshit crazy parent. Let's go look at some photos. President Trump has made a proclamation that he's going to get rid of all U.S. pennies. Well, to be man, I've been making a conscious effort to always have quarters on me at all times because I don't want to walk down a city block and happen to run across a peep show and not have any quarters on me to see the show. I would not be able to live that down, to miss the show of a lifetime. That's why I always have at least 2 quarters on me so I can see 30 seconds of whatever is beyond that screen. All right, I found a new location. It's my new hangout late night. I'm not going to say where the location is, but it is underground. It is neon-colored light, music at the perfect level where it's loud but not too loud so you can actually talk to people next to you. It's intimate, but it's spacious enough where you can breathe. I enjoy this lounge. I enjoy it, and I was there, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I was at the bar by my lonesome, just taking in the scenery, and there was a couple there. I'm not sure if it was first date, but it was early a relationship energy to them. They were on the other side of the bar, and I noticed the Chad, the John, he went to go use the restroom, and where the restroom is, he had to pass me. And I was just kind of, I looked at him, and I was looking at the babe he was with, and I noticed as soon as he turned his back to her to go towards the restroom, I'm not even saying he was in the restroom, he was maybe 2 steps from the table they were at, convening at, when she pulled out of her, I'm not sure if it was her purse or her pocket, or maybe it was on the table. She immediately went to her phone. And I was there watching the John walk to the restroom, and I'm looking at this babe just immediately look at her phone. And immediately, why would you do that? You're in this great location. There's a DJ there. There's not strobe light, but there's this purple lighting, a little bit of smoke, a lot of I wouldn't say attractive, but a bunch of weirdos. Like, it was a very festive environment. And just go straight to your phone, into that screen, and just those zombie eyes. What was she looking at on her phone? Was she going to social media? Was she texting her friend about how either terrible or how amazing this date was going, and how she's going to rob this guy for half of his money, divorce him 2 years from now, or tell him that she's taking a pill, you can come inside of me, then secretly get pregnant and trap him? Or was she just looking at her work email? Like, what was she doing? And it's just, we are so addicted to these little, I'm not saying anything none of you don't know. Yeah, we look at our phones. That's just, of course, what we do. I just wanted to go up to her and go, breathe. He's going to be in the restroom. He's going tinkle. He'll be back in 3 minutes. Enjoy 3 minutes of silence where you don't have to be worried about making conversation or laughing at his cheesy jokes or having to pretend to be interested in his stories. Just enjoy, sit back, relax, like enjoy the time out. This is when your date goes to use the potty, you know, when he's potty training, he's out in the restroom. Use it as a timeout, recompress. Just let your brain breathe a little bit. Don't go straight to the screen and just get more zap, more dopamine rush. Like, allow the date, the giant you're with, to give you that dopamine rush. Don't rely on the screen. And enjoy being out. Enjoy being out. You know, so few people go out anymore. Oh, what's on Netflix? What do you watch on Netflix? No. You're out. You're trying to live life. You're trying to improve your stake in life by being out on a date. Good for you. I tip on my penis to the both of you. But when he's away in the restroom, huh? Like, just breathe, just relax, towel yourself off. You know, to kind of re-energize yourself for that second half of the date and those bullshit stories and how he's going to brag about what a great John he is. Just it was so upsetting seeing this babe, this floozy of a lady, just straight to the phone. I was like, oh. Sometimes I enjoy being a loser who goes out alone and being able to judge other people for their actions, when in reality, everybody in whatever location I'm at should be judging me for just sipping on a Modelo there alone, looking at everybody else. It's like I'm playing reverse psychology to what everybody else should be doing. And maybe that's why I'm alone. All right, moving along. And if you know where any of those peep shows are at in the city, let the B-man know. All right. This one comes from the subreddit Sugar Lifestyle Forum. All right. Is there hope for SDs, sugar daddies, in 70s? I am on the older side of SDs, sugar daddies, turning 73 this year. I am in a long-term sugar relationship, and she is the love of my life, but I have started wondering about the other possibilities out there in the sugar world. How many girls will I find willing to be with a relationship with a gentleman of my age? I ask particularly regarding attractive ladies under 30 years old, as that is my preference. Thanks. Well, thank you, sugar daddy. This guy fucks. He fucks. He is a fucker. I love this guy's attitude. While I was bemoaning that lady on the date at my favorite new location, looking at her phone, I have the complete opposite reaction when reading this sugar daddy's post. Because so many of us, we look at life wrong, through the wrong lens. So many of us look through the rear view mirror and go, my life's not so bad. It could be worse. No, that is the wrong way to look about life. This guy, this John's life is fantastic. Now, he's not going, my life could be worse. I'm satisfied. No, he's 73 years old. And he's like, dude, I got a sugar baby. But are there any other hotter babies out there that are willing to dance with me? That, That is the mindset that we all need to invest in. I love this guy. This guy ain't skipping leg day at the gym. He is out there to get his, and good for him. Now, are there ladies, the ladies you like, under the age of 30 and attractive, willing to be your sugar baby or a sugar relationship? Absolutely. Absolutely, there are. I know that you're worried about your age, nearly 73. The B-man, I believe that your age is to your benefit in the sugar daddy, sugar baby lifestyle, which I'm not part of, but I look at, I research, and I admire those who can partake in it, both parties, the baby and the daddy. Obviously, I'm not a baby, and obviously, I do not have the funds to be a daddy, but being 73... being on the older side of the daddies, that is to your benefit, because I am of the belief that if you are a sugar daddy, the worst age you can be as a sugar daddy is between the ages of 50 and 70. And I say that because the daddy between 50 and 70 is in no man's land. Like, yes, you're elderly. You're still could be somewhat fit and attractive between those ages of 50 and 70. But those ages, you're kind of in no man's land when it comes to the sugar daddy game. Because, yes, you may have, even if you have $1 billion, and I say billion with B, are there sugar babies out there really willing to put in the time to get the bag from you? Because if you're 50, 60 years old and you're a sugar daddy, there's a good chance that you'll live for an extra 20 or 30 years. That's a long, long time for a sugar baby who's not physically attracted to you or even attracted to your personality. If she's only with you because of your billions with a B, putting in decades of work to get the entire bag at the end when you die, that's a lot of time. That's a large time investment. Now, if you're 73, that time investment the baby has to put in to get the bag is not nearly as long, especially if you're not super healthy, as the sugar daddies who are two or three decades younger than you are, nearly 73 years old. So I would play into your age. Instead of viewing that as a negative, view that as a positive and put that on your sugar daddy profile or wherever it is you find these babies. That is the first thing I would say. It's like, hey, I am looking for a sugar baby under the age of 30 and who is attractive. If that is you, I want to let you know I am nearly 73. I own a yacht. I have 3 million plus stocks. I own an undisclosed amount of property in the Italian Alps. Who wants to fall in love with me and my replacement hip? And you just let that all be known. And the babies will just, they'll come to you, and you could have one on each arm. You could have the love of your life, and you could have the hot 27-year-old who is willing to dance with you and your replacement hip. Now the second part of the equation. I think we went over you. Yes. You're definitely a daddy that sugar babies would and will be interested in. Now, are there sugar babies under the age of 30 who are attractive? Are there enough of those women out there for you to find? Absolutely. We are living currently in the golden age of floozies. There is, I estimate that one out of every five sorority sisters in the United States of America has sucked off an Uber driver to get a free ride. So they've given up their dignity for $30. A one out of every five babes under the age of 30 has what? What else have they done? Yeah, they're on OnlyFans. They're one of every, every group of babes, hot babes, college co-eds are walking down the beach wearing a G-string, a bikini. We are in, everywhere you look, there's a floozy who's hot, under the age of 30, willing to dance with a daddy. You could not have found a better time period to be in the position you are, a multi-billionaire, a sugar daddy, 73 years old. I mean, literally, just go to the campus of Arizona State University. I mean, we live in an age right now where we live in a stage where every babe who is a Zoomer will look at her friends who don't have a sugar daddy sideways. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you not making money using your body via the internet? Like, that's how fucked up modern culture is. So absolutely, there are so many babies out there who are willing to dance with you. And the great thing about you and your outlook on life is that you have so much confidence, so much bravado in yourself, and you have the bankroll to back it up, that you're willing to put your demand, right? Demand, under the age of 30 and attractive. You write that in a napkin and you push it across the table. And they'll look at it and they'll know your demand. And if they, hey, I got the body, I got the age. Where are we going to dinner tonight? So yeah, yep, you can find them. They're out there. I'm very delighted that you're seeking out advice and trying to, you're trying to better understand the free market that is the daddy game and the baby game. So yes, I am happy for you. And of course, yeah, the babies are out there. Just go to Arizona State University, Miami University, any college campus. There's so many college students now that have a sugar daddy or type situation. Oh, and I'll also say, what I like about you is that you're a real sugar daddy. There seems to be a lot of sugar daddies out there who are not real sugar daddies. They say they are, but they're really not. What I mean by that is, they'll say they're a sugar daddy, but all they're giving their baby is rent money and maybe a gaudy purse for her services once a month. That is not a sugar daddy. That is a barter system. In reality, that is somebody paying for a high-end escort. All right, a real daddy, all right? A real daddy is somebody who has an ongoing relationship, who uses terms like SR. Someone who has a love of her life is actually paying to bring that baby into his life, right? The Johns out there who are saying they're a sugar daddy and they're hooking up once a month, all you're doing is paying for the girlfriend experience. She's not actually your girlfriend. She is not your sugar baby. But our gentleman right here, he's a real one. He's a real sugar daddy. Dare I say, he's not playing the sugar daddy game. He is the game. So good for you. A tip of my penis to you. I hope to be of your status, stature, one day. A man can only dream, a man can only hope, and I'm doing both. I'm dreaming and I'm hoping. I'm like you in your situation one day if my health and my finances allow me to be so. Good for you. Major fan of Verbal Graffiti. All right, let's continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. I believe we are on, 45, top of page 87. We will read two pages aloud together. Man, she's some chick, he thought, as he walked toward the house. Nice to see you back again, honey, Stella called as he came closer. I missed you. Yeah, he replied, arching his eyebrow quizzically. Now that's something. Come on inside. Moments later, they were inside the house and immediately embraced with feverish urgency, kissing each other hotly, desire rising with intense force in both of them. Wow. Stella exclaimed as they broke their embrace for a moment. You're too much. She chuckled lightly and picked up two drinks from the table. How about a little refreshment? She said, handing him a glass of scotch and ice and moving back into the circle of his arms. You must be hot and tired from all that riding. Tired? No, he said. Hot? Yes. She laughed aloud at his remark and took a deep swallow of her drink. Look at what I got, she said, pointing across the narrow room. Alan turned and saw that she had bought a full-length mirror, installed it along the wall at the narrow end of the room. Immediately, he knew her intention, and he ran his hand up and down her thinly clad body, cupping her buttocks lewdly. A mirror, huh? He said. You got all kinds of wild ideas in that head of yours, don't you? Quite a few, lover, she replied provocatively. Quite a few. She walked to a small portable stereo that sat near the table and placed a record on it. It was slow, bluesy jazz, and the music filled the room with a mellow, sexy atmosphere. The combination of scotch and the music immediately relaxed Alan as he looked forward to the evening with obscene anticipation. His genitals still throbbed eagerly. Setting her drink down, the voluptuous blonde began to move sensuously to the music and to divest herself slowly as her sheer lace nightie. Within moments, her body was completely naked and Alan's eyes rolled hungrily over her sleek, tawny skin, glistening in the light from the lamps. She grasped her soft, pendulous breast with her hand and began to massage them shamelessly, smiling at him with teasing insinuation. She mewled. I feel good tonight. Real good. Go suck a fat one.